Hi, and welcome back into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr. You probably know him a little better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Little drum roll, please. We have a champion. Yes, you're right. Dustin Johnson is the 2020 FedEx Cup champion and the 2020 Tour Championship champion. Some spectacular golf over the last couple of days.
Bob, no question. Just incredible performance by Dustin Johnson, really throughout, you know, the last four events, and you know, it's hard to talk about how strong he played. We are going to talk about it, but it truly was a dominant performance.
You know, it's the amazing thing, Jay, and I didn't hear a lot of discussion on the TV coverage. He's certainly regarded now at an extremely high level. But, you know, none of what he's achieved includes those near misses, the original near miss at the U.S. Open in 2010 when Graham McDowell went on to victory and he had that huge lead and, you know, and it disappeared. And then what happened at the PGA Championship at Whistling Straits, where there was a rules violation. And then, of course, as we get to these playoffs, 30 under wins up in Boston, but it takes a 66-foot-plus putt by John Rahm to eliminate him out in Chicago. I mean, it's really no stretch, I don't think, on my part. You can correct me if you think I'm wrong, Jay, but I don't think it's much of a stretch to say that he could have won each of those events. And I forgot one even. He didn't have to three-putt at Chambers Bay, or he may have another U.S. Open.
No question about that. Throw that U.S. Open in. Throw in the fact that he darn near won, gave himself an opportunity to win the PGA Championship. I mean, you know, all you have to do is take the difference in the golf course in Boston and the difference in the golf course in Chicago at Olympia Fields. And look how well the guy performed at both on two totally different venues, two totally different types of scoring, and then going to where it kind of evened out a little bit, even though he set a torrid pace and had obviously the 10-shot start, or the 10-under start, if you will, at the Tour Championship. I mean, this is a man who is clearly in his prime and is the favorite to win the United States Open at famed Wingfoot.
I would absolutely agree with you there. I think it's worth mentioning, and it certainly is worth mentioning, 13 weeks, 14 tournaments, 12 states since the restart. Amazing that the Tour could pull it off so successfully. And, you know, they turned out to be the leader for other professional sports getting back underway. So I think the Grow Room, and Jay, I hope you agree with me, congratulations to the Tour, its leadership teams, and of course to the players for buying into the process. It has been nothing shy of a miracle that's unfolded in front of our eyes just to get these events off.
As I remember back, both you and I doing shows in early May when they announced the hope for the return at Fort Worth, were skeptical, and I think you had to be. And I think initially with some of those positive tests the first 2 weeks, everybody kind of went, this may not work. But whatever they did or have done, and the players themselves, I mean, the players, you know, this is a game where you police yourself. This is a situation where you're traveling and you want to do the best you can to do the social distancing and to stay away from potential situations, and they've done it. You know, I oftentimes look for things to point out that are interesting about the Tour, almost in a negative light sometimes. Not this, baby. They got this one right. Way to go.
Well, if you're looking for a negative light to shine on Dustin Johnson, you're going to take a long time. He's 36 years old now, 274 starts on tour, 23 wins. He's played in the Tour Championship 11 times, first to win, and just incredible the high-level golf we've gotten from Dustin Johnson. But I think to get to the point even more, Jay, why don't we listen to what Dustin Johnson has to say?
You know, I get nervous on the first hole. It's kind of settled down a little bit. And then, obviously, the back nine, you know, definitely could feel it just because, you know, a lot of really good players around me, and they were playing well. So I knew I was going to have to shoot a good score on the back nine if I wanted to win. Yeah, obviously coming in here, I was in first with a two-shot lead, and I needed all those strokes that I could get. You know, I got off to a great start, and then, you know, I played really well coming down the stretch. But, yeah, it was a tough day, tough golf course, and I'm definitely excited it's over. But I'm very proud to be the FedEx Cup champion. You know, being a FedEx Cup champion is something that, you know, I really wanted to do. And, you know, that's, I wanted to hold that trophy at the end of the day. It was something that I wanted to accomplish during my career. And obviously, I got one of them. And now I'm going to try to get me another. I am excited. Obviously, I'm playing well. I've got a lot of confidence in the game. So I'm really looking forward to the next, you know, obviously, couple months. But then I'm also, after that, I'm looking forward to some time off. You know, it's been a long stretch. But, you know, it's made it a lot easier playing well, that's for sure.
Why don't we take a look behind the curtain on Dustin Johnson, Jay, and we can readily see why he is accomplishing what he does. I mean, off the tee, he's simply incredible. He's got that cut working. It goes 9 million miles, finds the fairway most of the time. He's a great wedge player now, thanks to the hard work with Butch Harmon and now his son Claude. He's a better-than-average putter, better-than-average out of the bunkers. I mean, when you look at this golf game of Dustin Johnson, it is really the complete package.
It's the whole thing. And you thought initially it was all going to be about distance with him as you date back to Pinehurst in his early beginnings. The other thing that I've believed for the last couple of years as it relates to Dustin Johnson is he has had an influence on him. It hasn't been a golfer. It's been the greatest hockey player of all time. Or if you want to argue about Gordon Howe, that's fine. But Wayne Gretzky has been a part of this guy's life the last number of years. And I think that's been a benefit to Dustin. And, you know, Dustin seemed like he was a little, you know, he's down there from South Carolina, a little bit behind the times for a while, you know, and maybe it made him look a little aloof or not maybe as wise as the other guys. I think Gretzky has, I'm not going to use the term taken him under his wing, but I have to believe that Wayne has had a tremendous influence on him and how he goes about his business.
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up, Jay. Wayne was asked recently, which is tougher, to win a major playing golf or is it to win the Stanley Cup? And he didn't even hesitate. He said it's much harder to win a major because trying to win a major, you're doing it by yourself. Trying to win a Stanley Cup, you have a team behind you. And I thought that was very well said. And I couldn't agree with you more. Probably, if you wanted to hand pick somebody to kind of watch over Dustin Johnson, kind of mold him in a particular direction, Wayne Gretzky's name would be on a very short list.
I'm not talking anything as it relates to the golf swing, folks. I'm talking about the mindset of the greatest hockey player. And I will tell you this, somebody who spent time with Gretzky, in a sense, he's a low-key, down-to-earth guy. And clearly, Dustin is a low-key kind of guy. And I just think Wayne has had to have some impact on him. And you know, the guy at times seems really unflappable and bounces back from adversity. And, you know, he may bomb at Wingfoot. You know, there are guys have bad weeks. This is still a hard game. But, I mean, to tell you, you talked about it. When he's right with the driver, I do think he is the best player in the world, even better than Rory. That's how good I think Dustin is.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, when you take a survey amongst the members of the golf media, players, I always would ask the question, what would really be a strong attribute to play this game at the highest level? And more often than not, Jay, the response came back as, well, you're better off if you have a bad memory. And let me explain what they meant. Guys with bad memories, they hit a bad shot. Nicklaus, a great example. If he would hit a bad shot, that ball was just off the club face, and it'd be forgotten about, and
it was gone. It was gone.
Yep. It was gone. You're right, Jay. And yep. He'd be plotting his strategy for the next shot. And then you take other players. You know, they miss a shot on the fourth hole, and they get to the ninth hole, and you hear them mumbling. Geez, I don't know how I missed that shot on the fourth hole. I mean, their memories are too good.
You and I know some guys that have hit a shot on a Thursday, and they're still talking about it on a Friday. It's you know, clearly with the disappointments that he's had in the past, he's able to, you know, let that go by the way and not carry it with him. And that's not easy to do. And he seems to do it very well. He seems to, you know, if he shoots 81 on a Friday and withdraws, but comes back 2 weeks later and leads the first round, that's Dustin Johnson, Brett, man. That's him.
Yeah, that's him in a nutshell. And how about these numbers? Last four starts, the PGA Championship, three playoff events. He wins twice. He's second twice. Earns a total of $18,704,000. I can't even say it without chuckling.
I told the assistant pro at Gateway today. I said they don't even know what to do with all the money anymore. I mean, he said the guy won $15 million. I said no, he didn't. He won more than $15 million. He won about $18.5 million. I mean, you know, you and I, as I've said before, remember the days that Curtis Strange won $100,000 at a golf tournament. They played for $1 million for the first time in Vegas. I mean, it's just, you know, Benjamins spread over Benjamins. I mean, that the dough's out of control.
Yeah, I wish you hadn't mentioned that Vegas purse, because I know half that money's mine. You know. Let's just talk about something. I don't think there's a legitimate discussion to be had, at least in my estimation. The book is closed. DJ, he's got to be the player of the year.
I don't see how he's not. Now, I would, you know, the PGA Tour has a player of the year for their PGA Tour year. The PGA of America has a player of the year for the year in golf. And I, you know, we still have two majors left. So, I mean, if Justin Thomas wins the U.S. Open and the Masters, in a sense, he'll be the player of 2020. But the player of the year on the PGA Tour is Dustin Johnson. And I think it's Dustin Johnson, no question. I think it could be a unanimous ballot. The year thing or is still somewhat in the air because – you know how we weigh major championships. So we'll have to see if somebody can do a double-double. And when I say somebody, I mean, I'm talking about Rory, Justin, or lo and behold, Morikawa sweeps the three, which, you know, I mean, now I'm talking crazy. So absolutely. And our man over the pond, Darren, who listens to us and tweets at me from time to time, has a question for you, Bob. It's I think the other question about player of the year is we've got that solved. But his question is the fact that, you know, with the handicap system in this golf tournament, Xander Schauffele won the gross score, had the lowest gross score for the week. What do you think about that fact? Because as we've talked about a lot and we talked about last year, they got lucky with Rory just rolling and not having to worry about this happening last year.
Yeah, but the more that I've watched this system in operation now through two seasons, I was adamant a year ago thinking that it was ludicrous the way they did it. But the more I think about it, the more, you know, you analyze it, basically You have to be rewarded in some form or fashion for right. how you played all year. And when they came up with this system of, you know, starting points, as they like to call them, I think it's very fair. So what? Dustin Johnson starts out at 10 under par, but there's still four rounds of golf for you to make that up. So thanks, Darren, for being a good listener. But I think, you know, the system works, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you one thing. This guy, Xander Schauffele, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, he's finished second or tied for second at the Tour Championship the last 2 years. He's a robot in terms of top tens. He seems to be able to hit all different type of shots. He's really good getting it up and down around the greens, and he putts it good. I mean, he's missing that major cachet or a Players' Championship, or, you know, a situation here where he had a chance to win a FedEx Cup. But, boy, he's going great, and he discusses that lowest gross score thing.
I just wasn't able to put enough pressure on him. I birdied, whatever it was, 11 and 12, and then I bogeyed 13, and he parred. So that was a big swing. He's here to win the tournament. He made that putt, which I didn't, and that was a pivotal moment, I think. He deserves to win. He won the first one, tied first in the second, and I don't know where he finished here, but he obviously is playing great golf, and I think that's what the playoffs is all about.
Well, for a young man, he very analytical, and certainly everything he said about the way Dustin Johnson's playing is right on the money.
Well, and I think technically in that gross score category, he finished second. So, I mean, it would have been a W and three deuces to go if you wanted to make it gross score-wise. I don't know why I woke up Monday and I thought, why do I think Justin Thomas might win this golf tournament? And lo and behold, he started, you know, Dustin was rock solid, but then he started to hit a little over the map, and it got a little tight there, and I thought Justin might make a move. He wasn't able to do it, but a great year for him, Bob.
Yeah, really. Well, he's just an outstanding player. Let's give a listen to what Justin Thomas had to say about the FedEx playoff.
I mean, I was right there. I had a great chance today. You know, those felt like my bogeys on the front were really from not bad shots, and I made enough birdies to at least give myself a chance in the back nine, which is, you know, all I could ask for, being five back to start the day. I wanted to get to the back nine because, I mean, if I didn't get off to a good start, it didn't matter, but I got off to a good enough start where I felt like I needed to look to see if I needed to make any changes. So I looked on 12, and then I looked again after 15, and saw I was three back, and I knew I needed to birdie those last three to have a chance. And it proved to, it wouldn't have been good enough, but I felt like I gave it a pretty good run.
He's one of the good guys out there. Good news concerning his caddy, in case any of our listeners have not been aware of the fact he's had a longtime caddy, a great player in his own right, Jimmy Johnson from South Africa. Jimmy, a little bit under the weather the last three or four events, but we were happy to hear that Jimmy Johnson will be back on the bag when they get to Wingfoot, and Bones McKay, who has filled in for Jimmy Johnson, will be back on his NBC microphone. So good news for Thomas, and certainly happy that Jimmy Johnson physically is going to be able to handle caddying at Wingfoot. One person I'm really concerned with, though, Jay, and maybe you can help me out, John Rahm. I mean, he only won $3 million, and he's a newly married man.
Oh, boy, to be John Rahm. Just start getting the jacket ready for November. For Rombo. I think it's going to look real good on him. He put himself with an outside shot on Monday, didn't fire. I mean, I think they all kind of felt like this guy's whooped us anyway. He ought to win the thing. Rahm finishes fourth. Rookie of the year, gotta be. Scottie Scheffler. What a tremendous latter portion of the summer schedule he had. Nice big move by Tyrrell Hatton. He picks up $1.3 million for him. That'll buy a lot of fish and chips over the pond. And Rory still kind of just treading water, if you will, looking for him to maybe spike or have a big one at Wingfoot. He finishes tied for eighth.
Trust you on that Wingfoot. He'll swap the one in November for a second U.S. Open title. He needs that Masters to complete his personal Grand Slam. Only five players in golf history have won all four of the majors. Rory McIlroy just lacking the Masters. He's going to get another crack at it. Different month, different time of the year. Maybe that's going to work well for Rory McIlroy.
No question. And after we hear about Gateway National Golf Links, which is nice and in really good shape, but it's nothing like the Kapalua Villas in Maui, we'll preview the Safeway Open and the start of the 2021. That's right, the 2021 season.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses, spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase the season pass. Walters Golf Management manages eight other properties and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
The Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. We thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
We're back on In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me on Twitter, like our man Darren does from over the pond, at STL Golf Geek. You can find Mr. Bubka, Bob Bubka, V-O-G, that V-O-G appropriately stands for Voice of Golf. And Bob, the season ended, and now a season begins the week before the second major of the year, the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. The Safeway Open in Napa, California is the first event of this new season that's scheduled to have 50 events on the schedule, with starting the season with no fans, but hoping that'll change as it goes along. They're starting in wine country.
Yeah, and I have to give the tour credit. They certainly took a sufficient break from the 2020 season to the 2021 season. The last putt fell at about 6:30 East Coast time down in Atlanta at Eastlake, and this next season started about 7. So they gave it, 30 minutes, long enough off season. Let's get on with the next season. Safeway Open, quite honestly, though, Jay, can have a lot of problems getting people to play, you know, top 30 are down there on the East Coast. They would have to go to California and then back to Wingfoot. I mean, that's asking a lot.
I actually think it's a bad move. I really do. And I think they probably, in a sense, regret it now. I really do. I mean, the field is weak, without question. I don't know that, you know, it may have been a better move for the betterment of the tour this year to not have done it. Now, we can debate that all you want. There's still some guys that have won major championships in the field. Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia, Jim Furyk, Jordan Spieth, and Shane Lowry. Lucas Glover's another one. But it's a weak field. And Phil being Phil, I like to play the week before a major. So that's perfect for him. But I'm a little surprised Jordan Spieth is playing.
Yeah, that kind
of. But he's had a couple of weeks off.
That kind of surprised me, too, but I think he's trying to, get a clean slate and get back some of that winning form he demonstrated so frequently back in 2015. Cameron Champ, he's the defending champion at Safeway, but he's not going to play. He's focused at Wingfoot. And by the way, didn't the USGA just come out and kind of put the lid on the field for the U.S. Open coming at Wingfoot?
Yeah, Bob, the last category to be filled was via the FedEx rankings list. And with the FedEx Cup becoming final for the season Monday, Sebastian Munoz got in. He was 15th on the FedEx Cup standings. The only player to need to get this exemption that was in the top 30 was Munoz. Brian Harman, Tyler Duncan, Mark Hubbard, and Danny Lee got the final. Brendan Steele, who was looking to win his third Safeway Open this week, just missed out at 46th. And it's the second straight year a guy in Brendan Steele that has not played in the U.S. Open. And the other thing that you have to realize is because of the field here at Safeway, there's a decent shot that the winner on Sunday may not be playing next week in the U.S. Open. You know, it's just an interesting thing to discuss.
You're absolutely right. And next week, we're going to recap the kickoff to the 2021 Super Season 50 events. We'll be talking about the Safeway Open, and we're going to provide an extensive preview of the U.S. Open coming to Wingfoot, one of the great golf courses in the United States of America.